Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So if you would, bow your heads with me. God, I just ask that we feel Your presence so strongly today, that we feel freedom in our worship. Lord, that we find out what our life is supposed to be about for You. Lord, that the gift that You've planted in us, the gifts, whatever it is, it becomes so clear and apparent to us. And that we walk our life in that way to fulfill what You've created us for. God, I just ask that the word that is shared today, it takes root in us and it's fruitful in our life. Lord, I just ask that You help us to be united in a strong way. Lord, that we show each other love. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're meant to rest in His promises all the time, right? It's that, it's like the tree that's by the waterside, right? When you allow your branches to just continually be dipped in that river of life that God has flowing through, it's really resting in promises, right? See, God is, He is truth. And everything He tells you and everything that He gives you, it's something that you can stand on and you can take it to the bank, right? Like, even if you're not seeing what you think you should be seeing, keep standing. Rest in the promise that He is going to do what He promised He would do. Because He's not a God that lies. He will never lie. He will always tell you the truth. And that's the thing, is so every single thing that He gives you, it's like nuggets of comfort, peace, joy, all those things that you need to withstand whatever moment or whatever thing that you may come against or go through. It's always true, no matter of how good you feel or how low you feel. It's always a promise you can stand on. And that right here is what we're worshiping about today, is the ability to say, yep, it's a yes and an amen. It's going to happen. It's going to be there. What you promise, what you say, when you call me more than a conqueror, I am more than a conqueror. When you tell me to stand still, that you'll fight for me, you're fighting for me. All of those things are promises that you can stand on in any storm. It's why it's the firm foundation, right? So this morning, whatever you got that might be, I don't know, it's this feeling of, I have a feeling like somebody's anxious. Like super anxious about something. Whatever that is, if you feel anxious, worried, all those things, stressed, lay it down and know that whatever's going on and whatever's happening, God's working it for good in your life. It's a yes and an amen. It's something to worship over. It's something to claim victory over, because you already have it in Him. But give it to Him. Don't be trying to solve it yourself. Don't be trying to take it on yourself. Allow Him to do it for you, because He's already promised good things for you. And I can really, God's really, it could be multiple people too. I'm going to tell you, Oscar and I have felt like we've been going through kind of this long season. And I was talking to my brother, and I was telling him, you know, I told him, I've kind of hit this moment of frustration where I'm like, God, I've been praying. I've been doing the things You've been telling me. I've been going after You. I don't understand why we're still where we're at. And, you know, I told I told my brother that I heard somebody was talking to me and somebody goes, well, there's something that you guys must be doing. But you know, I was telling my brother that when I really went after God, I was like, God, is this true? Is there something that we're doing? Because I feel like we've really been waiting on you. We've really been trying to go after you. And you know, I think that's a thing, right? That the church feels sometimes. Like if you're in this bad spot, you did something wrong, therefore you're in the place you're in, right? But it's not the way God works. See, sometimes it's just learning. It's just a teaching moment, right? It's just, he's trying to give us something. He's trying to build us up. He's trying to really, really play something within our life, right? And you know, I was telling him, I love that God's just like a best friend, right? Just like, you can talk to him about anything. You can bring it all. And even when I'm frustrated, he knows I'm frustrated, right? But he's faithful through it all. See, that's the thing. We can, in our human emotions, right? Like even, that's what I told him. I know I had a day where I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if I feel like you're even listening to me at this point. I was so frustrated. But I know that the prayer in that moment was so much more than even, see, that's the thing. When we can feel frustrated and down, and I can even be asking him, I don't think you're listening. He's like loving, right? He's like, you know what? You're exactly where you need to be. Laying it all out, looking to me instead of somewhere else. You know what I mean? So it's almost like I had this feeling of he was like, go ahead. Get frustrated. You're all right because I'm still dealing with it. I'm still working it for you. It's still good. And you know, one of the things that I really liked about the conversation my brother and I had is he goes, even the waiting isn't just waiting. He goes, yeah, we're waiting on him, but it's productive through all of it. Because that's the thing, is even when we're waiting, if we're pressing in, we're learning, we're building, we're equipping, we're getting ready, right? That's the thing, is that it doesn't matter how we feel about the season. He's faithful through it. He'll always have something, and he's always ready and willing to place it. But that's the thing. We can't get distracted by what we physically see. We gotta learn to operate in the kingdom. And that's saying, regardless of what I see, I know you're still working. I know you're still doing stuff. And I'm still gonna press in because I know that the promises are real and they're true. And regardless of whether they're coming now or later, what you're working in this season is for good. See, he tells us to be instant in season and out of season. That means that you're always going after him, regardless, because in the moments that you need it, all of those times that you felt you were out of season, you were really building up. See, I liked what he was telling me too, because it was something I never looked at, but it's something God had really talked to him about, that the waiting is still productive. It's still important. So if you have a season where you've been waiting, it's a good thing for you. God's still working things. He's still doing things. He's still placing things. He's still wanting to give you things in all of that time. It's why I can really feel that bridge. I will rest in your promises. It's because we have to learn to rest, right? See, as human beings, we have this feeling that we need and have to do something. we gotta correct, we gotta course adjust, or we gotta, you know what I mean? Whatever it might be, I gotta make a move. I gotta figure this out, because it's not gonna happen if I'm not figuring it out. No, see, that's the thing, is if you haven't gotten an answer, if God hasn't placed something specific, then keep going after him, because he's got you in the waiting, but it's productive, and he's teaching you something, and he's giving you something, and he's building you up for what's to come. So allow yourself to rest in what he's giving you. Allow yourself to rest in your time with him, in your going after him. Be fed. See, that's what that is. Our diving in is him feeding us, giving us the things that we need, building us up, strengthening us, giving us the nutrients that are more vital than anything on this earth can ever give you.
The Lord was just reminding me about David. And David spent his young life as a shepherd, the lowliest position that was around back then. And he stayed out there for who knows how long with his little musical instrument. And he had his sheep, his flock. And I know that he was playing that musical instrument to soothe them in hard times. But he was also in his prayer closet. He was spending lots of time with the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? But through it all, by spending time with the Lord, he was able to defeat a lion that was endangering the flock. And as he spent time worshiping the Lord, praying, and thinking, you know, what am I going to do for you, Lord? What is all this? When we question ourselves, you know, what is my purpose here? You haven't given me anything to do. And suddenly, he was cast up in front of a giant. The giant in the Israelites' life, the one that was in the way of their peace and safety. And none of the warriors wanted to go up against that giant. But David says, because of the strength of my God, and I'm paraphrasing, because of his strength, I'll go out against that lion. And that's a lesson for us. Because of our strength that the Lord has given us, it's his strength, not ours, that we can go up against any enemy, any giant in our lives, and we'll be successful. And after David killed the giant, he became king, the highest position in the land, to still shepherd the flock, but not sheep this time, but followers of God. This is our assignment. This is what we're supposed to do, to be like David and overcome. Wait for the Lord to ask us to do something, and then go out and slay that giant. Thank you.
Okay, so we've been singing how faithful he is, and he is a faithful God. And what I kept receiving was, yes, when we go through trials and tribulations, he is faithful, no matter what. So the scripture he gave me this morning was 43. It's Isaiah 43, and it's verse 2, and he says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle on you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And yes, he is. He is our Savior, and he is faithful to his word, and he will get us through our waters. Amen.
All right. right. Good morning. I don't like coming up here because it's, I know it's hard to do. I can relate to the pastor. But I was praying on the way over here this morning. I said, Lord, you know, I really want to go to a Christian rock concert. And I walked in here late and I walked in. I was like, I just walked into a rock Christian rock concert. I was like, this is awesome. So I was like, thank you, God, for that. And then they played Do It Again, and that's a song that's really near and dear to me because it was a song that we played at my parents' memorial. I've gotten better at being able to talk about losing my parents, but the Holy Spirit, this sister over here sitting here in the front row, she came over, she felt something, she came over, and during that song gave me a hug, and I was like, That's God again right there showing up and putting his arms around me, letting me know and reminding me that he's here. And so everybody's seen the news, executive orders, and I work for the federal government. So there's a lot of unrest. I've gotten a lot of questions this week about, you know, are you worried? And I'm not worried. I'm not worried because I'm believing that God is the provider for everything. This verse today, Matthew 6:11, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day, was another reminder of just believing in all of his promises. All the songs we sang today were his promises, yes and amen, but we have to have that confidence. And I'm wanting to have that confidence and also believing in the productive waiting for him, because I ask him each day, Lord, if there's something in my life that's just reveal that and help me get through removing that from my life. So to not have that feeling you talked about it today, Rebecca, like, what am I doing that, you know, am I doing something in my life that's not allowing me? And I think about that a lot. And so I stand up here in front of you, which is very hard to do, to say that if there is anything, I want those things to be, you know, highlighted and revealed and opened so that I can remove those things. Well, not me personally, but that God will remove those things in my life and help me move forward. So thank you. Wow.
Hey, good morning, church. I was reading in the Word the other day, and something kind of popped out of me. I was in the towards the end of Luke, I think chapter 24, around verse 13 or so, and it was about the two followers that were walking the opposite direction of Jerusalem to a town. I can't pronounce it. I'm not sure what the name of it is. And the Lord appeared to him, and they couldn't even see him. They didn't know who he was, you know. And it was because of their own disappointments, problems. And, you know, just sometimes I just think that we get in the way a lot, you know. And what was cool is he just kept talking to him, you know. And of course, that's what we have, the Word, and we can seek the Word and seek him and just stay in the Word. And they were going the wrong way, and then all of a sudden they were able to see him, and he got them turned back around, and they started going the right way. So anyway, that just kind of popped out. It's kind of cool how the Word, you can read it over and over, but certain times different things kind of pop for you. So anyway, if you know, there's disappointments, you know, if you get frustrated like I do sometimes at myself, worse than anyone, you know, let those things go and seek him, stay in his Word.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Hey, I try not to usually get up here when Pastor John's preaching, because this morning, just like Scott was talking, something popped out while I was reading the Word early this morning. It's in Psalm 18, and it says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." And then it says, "So shall I be saved from my enemies." And I was just thinking about that, you know, just calling on the Lord, you know what, you know.
We are on a path. How many say amen to that? And your steps are ordered by the Lord. So if you're expecting God to do something for you, just keep expecting. Because God says, like this song says, every promise is yes and amen. Everyone. It's just maybe you haven't stepped into that yet, but you're walking and the promise is there. Can you say amen to that? He subdues all your enemies. Everything that's contrary to you, everything that's contrary to him that's within you, he subdues it. That's why he deserves all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because only he can do it and we can't do it. Can you say amen to that? Call upon the Lord, because he's worthy to be praised. So shall you be delivered from all of your enemies. Can you say amen? He's a great God. He's worthy to be praised. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
How many of you believe that God likes to be invited? You know, he wants to be invited to where you are. And I felt this morning that was exactly what we were doing as we sang the praise songs that we sang in worship, that he was receiving that. And he was, when he is invited, then he accepts and he is welcome. And I really feel that for this morning, that he is here this day and he's going to be ministering to each one of you in some form or another. Well, thank you, worship team. I appreciate your time. So, raise your hand if at some, I knew Terry would, okay. Now, raise your hand if at some point in your life, you've received a healing, a physical healing. Okay. And you don't have to raise your hand now, but there are some here today that are still in waiting. There are some other things that are going on within your body. My message today is the healing of our bodies. That's what I'm going to be speaking on. And so there are things that we've been healed of, and you know, it's a wonderful testimony. And yet there's other things that maybe we're still in waiting for. So being that it's my time to talk, I'm going to tell you a story about me. tell you a couple of stories as far as the healing that I received. When I was about 15 years old, I had a car accident. And in that car accident, I wound receiving some damage to my back. And from that point on, it always bothered me. It always hurt, but never enough to put me down, never enough to say I was going to be paralyzed or nothing like that, just enough to harass me, right? And so as I progressed, you know, I just felt, yeah, this is the way it is for me. And there was times that I could, you know, have a good day. There was other times that I go through days that were unbearable as far as pain went. Sometimes there was times that I had to to roll out of bed to the floor. And so I could slowly get up, and once I got going, it seemed like things were going to be all right for the day. So that's just all that to say that, you know, for quite a few years, around 20 or so, that's the way it was. You know, I missed out on a lot of things that I could have done, you know, activities or whatever, but it wasn't bad enough, like I said, to put me down. I still like to party. But but the time I was in my mid-30s, we became a part of a church that believed in, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. They believed that people, you know, could be prayed for and be healed. And so, you know, that was right at the beginning of that, where I came home one day and Stella could tell that, my wife, she could tell that I wasn't quite at my best. And so she told me, says, and this is one thing with Stella, she always seems to get the hang of what God's doing way ahead of me. Before I ever have a clue, she's already got an idea. And that's the way it was then. That church that we were going to, you know, they were slowly learning about these things. And that was right at the beginning. So when I came home that day, she told me, you know, you're not doing it, no. Well, just lay down on the floor here, and we're going to pray for you. I thought, yeah, okay, you know, this is good. So she called my two young daughters. They were around 10 years old at the time. And so she called them and says, come in here, and we're going to pray for your dad. So just felt good lying on the floor, so I was okay with all that. But anyway, they put their hands on my back, and as they prayed, and you would think, you know, it wasn't any of that in the name of Jesus, none of that stuff. It was just, Jesus, take this pain away from my daddy. You know, it was just prayers in love, right? Just a love coming through. And so they were just praying, had their hands laid on my back, and the area that hurt at that point started quivering. Well, this is all new to me, but it started quivering, and you know, they just kept praying, and all the time they were praying, the area kept quivering. And so that was for a while. They finally stopped praying, and you know, they said amen. So for that night, I slept well. I was very comfortable. And next day, I went to work. And by the end of the day, once again, you know, my back was sore. And by this time, I'm thinking, I want to do that again. Yeah. And so I got home, and this time I called my daughters. I called them into the room, and we went through the exact same thing that we were in the night before. They laid their hands on me and began to pray again, and my back began to quiver again. It just started doing the same thing that it had done the previous day. So after they said amen, they were done. I got up, everything was good. And to this day, I have never had that trouble again. I was healed. And as this is, like I said, for 20 years almost, I went through this. Not enough to put me down, but enough to make my day not so good. And so, not only was it a time of healing for my body, but it also brought to my mind that I wanted to do more of this. If I got healed, why couldn't I be a part of others getting healed? It actually changed my perception of how I saw healing. I wanted to be a part of it. It wasn't just like I received it, thank you, Jesus, and I'm on my way. It changed me to a point that today, you know, a lot of my life is prayer. Amen. God just put me in a place where prayer became a priority for me. And healing prayer was definitely on top of the list as far as how I would pray and what I would pray for. So the thing was that I saw it in my life. It changed my life, and it changed to glorify God, because now I wasn't just keeping it to myself. I wanted to extend what God had given me. And so I didn't just see it in my life, but I saw it in the life of my wife. I knew God heals. There's no doubt about it. God heals. And my wife, years later, my wife was diagnosed with lupus. Okay? And by this time, we already knew that prayer works. We already knew that there was something that we had to, that we could do to not stand for those things. So, as time went on and as we prayed, the doctor that she was seeing would, you know, would take blood work and whatever, and he would keep monitoring her. Pretty soon he started weaning her from a lot of the medications that she had been taking. She'd take this, take this. Pretty soon she was at almost bare minimum of the medications that she was taking. And it came to a point one day that, you know, we went to see him and he said, you know what? He says, I don't need to see you anymore, he says. He says, there's nothing wrong with you anymore. And what is going on here, right? Our God heals. Our God does take care of us. And there are things that Stella and I haven't been healed of yet. Even though those things, these are big things, right? The lupus is not exactly something that, you know, that you're supposed to get rid of. But she did. It's out of her body now because God had a part in it. And so even though there are things that we haven't yet been healed of, so God knows why some things get healed immediately and others don't. I think we all kind of wonder about those things through our life. And so there may be some of us here today going through a physical issue, praying for a healing, and needing a touch of Jesus. So we know that much of Jesus' ministry was devoted to the healing of the sick. Pretty much a lot of the New Testament is him walking through and touching people and pulling them out of those things that kept them bound. So I want to start off with the first scripture, and that's in Matthew, starting with Matthew 4, starting with verse 23. And it says that Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and the healing of every disease and every sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And says that large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan. When people are getting healed, they're going to want to follow you. And as we read this particular scripture, there wasn't anything that he would say, no, I'm not going to do that. It says various diseases. Nothing was too big for him. Nothing was ever something that he would say no to. There was times I think, you know, I thought about how many times did Jesus walk by someone and did, you know, there was a lot of sick people back in those days. How many times did he walk by them and never pray for them, never touch them, right? But it wasn't his time. It wasn't the time for the person. But whenever he said that he did only what the Father said, well, as he was led to pray for the different people, the idea was that when he prayed, there was no question. He knew that that person was going to be healed. But it was every disease. So let's go to Matthew 8. 8, 1 through 3. This one says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, a large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of leprosy. So there's so many of these scriptures that speak about how and who Jesus healed. I just picked three of them that I'm sharing now. And this particular one is that they asked him, if you are willing. And we have to always remember that it is his will that we are healed. Yes. There should never be a question that, will you do it? The question is, will we receive it? Will we allow him to do what he does? Will we allow his kingdom to supersede what our eyes see, what the world sees? And so it is his will. And so we don't need to ask if you are willing. He is truly willing at all times. And now we go to Isaiah. And all these, I know you're familiar with all these scriptures, but this is Isaiah, and we're going to read 4 and 5. And it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This says that he took our infirmities. And yet, some of us find it easier when we see the picture of him on the cross, and we find it easier to accept that he took upon himself our sin. It says that he took upon himself, the blood covered our sin. But yet sometimes we find it a little harder to accept that he also took upon himself our infirmities. That was all part of the atonement that Jesus had done. So, in a moment, as we always do on first Sunday of the month, we're going to be partaking in the Lord's Supper. So we receive two elements, right? One symbolizes the blood of Jesus, which covers all our sin. The other symbolizes the body of Jesus, who is the bread of life. He is the Word. So these two elements express the finished work of Jesus on that cross. They're not to be separated. If we can accept one, we have to accept the other one. So if we believe that our sins were covered, then we shouldn't have any sickness in our body, right? He took it. Yep. He took it. And so sometimes those things, we battle with those things that we would still be able to, we're free from sin, but we're not free from our sicknesses. Why? Maybe because we see it, right? We see the things that are going on in our bodies. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2:24 now. And it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. This scripture tells us that our healing already happened at the cross. So why are we still having surgeries, taking medication, and sometimes walking with pain? And there is no one answer to that. The answer may be different for different people. But we can't deny of what still exists in our body. If it's pain, it hurts. It's real, but it doesn't belong there. Through our lifetime, some of us have abused our bodies, drank too much, ate too much, not enough sleep. Some of us have had to work jobs that place stress on our bones and our muscles. Dirty air, loud noise, even for some of us, mental stress. Okay. That was part of what we had to do, right? To take care of our families or some of these things. Of course, it was something that we just enjoyed doing for the time. Probably not the smartest thing to do, right? So we pray for the healing of our body. Even though these things are there, we pray for the healing of our body. We know that the power of God is stronger than anything that could ever come against us. Amen. So these things are there. We can't pretend they're not. But let's don't accept. And let's put them in a place that we know that there is a higher power that it can come to our bodies and in the name of His Son Jesus, just lift these things off of us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us specific words for that specific problem. Sometimes we pray for things that are kind of generic. And sometimes, you know, we've gotten so accustomed to saying prayers that are just how you pray without ever going to the Holy Spirit and saying, what words do you want me to speak to this particular problem? There are different problems, and that same thing that's going on in one person doesn't mean that another person, even though they're having the same symptoms, that same answer is for that person. You need to get with the Holy Spirit and ask Him, what is going on? What can I speak to this person or to myself, to your own body, that would take care of it? And then when we've done that, when we've come and we've spoken, then we expect a manifestation. We expect for a healing to take place. And sometimes when we do this, I'm getting there. Whenever we're praying for our own bodies, which hopefully you all are, there may be some times of waiting. And sometimes because of that waiting, we begin to lose hope, maybe go weary as we pray and not see what we believe is ours. He said it was. He said that we have healing. And we believe that we're doing all the right things, and yet no change. But even when we see no change physically, that we would know that there is change going on. Sometimes because of our circumstance, physical circumstance that we're going through, we draw closer to God. We get closer because maybe we don't know. We don't know where else to go. You're going to the right place. And so that circumstance could bring you to a place where he wanted you to be all the time. It's not that he put that on you so you would, but he'll use that to say, I just want to be with you. I want to take care of you. And so therefore, just know that even if you don't see anything immediately, and like I said earlier, why do some things get healed immediately? Why do some things take time? God only knows, right? All you know is that you have to put your trust in him and allow him to do it in his timing. And just know that through this time, whatever your circumstances, whatever it is that you're praying for, that he is holding you and he is walking with us. You're not on your own. You're not hurting on your own. So now let's go to Mark 5:25, starting with verse 25. Okay. It says, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for about 12 years. And I'm going to just stop there right now. It says 12 years. You know, you talk about somebody waiting. And I looked at that and it's like, that's kind of what I went through. I went through almost 20 years of going through this pain, not ever knowing that I had an option. I didn't know that God could take that away from me. And I look at this lady and I see where, you know, she just, you know, this is what I have. She accepted it and she dealt with it, right? But nothing ever happened. It says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. You ever feel like you're going there? You know? You feel like sometimes that, you know, you look to these guys, they were here for a purpose. I don't see that doctors or medications are an evil thing. God can use them for our good. And yet the question is, when you start feeling something, where do you go first? Start feeling something? Maybe you go and you get on your computer and Google it. Let's Google it and see what this symptom is about, you know? And a lot of times you're finally convince yourself that you're ready to die, you know? Or maybe the next one is the doctor, right? You start feeling something that's not quite right in your body and I got to make an appointment with a doctor. But the one that we should have gone to all along was God, right? That should be the very first place that we approach whenever we start feeling something. It's not good to put it in denial. You're feeling something.
Thank you, Lord.
You are feeling something. You are going through something. Is it all up here? Yeah, maybe. The enemy has a way of working up in here and making a little bit of acid indigestion convince you that you're going to have a heart attack. Yeah? And this is where, you know, those are things that we have to deal with, you know, routinely, that how do we approach the things that we go through, you know? And the first place to go is to God. Get in prayer. Even at the moment that if you're feeling your chest hurt or whatever, start praying. If you don't feel like praying out loud or whatever, pray in the Spirit. You know, Pastor Henry keeps saying, if you don't know what to say, just pray in the Spirit. I think we all agree with that. You know, that's an easy one. just pray God's words. But whatever it is that you're feeling, know where to go first. Let's go on with verse 27. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. All she needed was a touch of Jesus, right? That's really what a lot of us, that's all we need is just the touch of Jesus. You know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't look to me like she was out praying or anything. I just need to touch Jesus. There is no right prayers, even though the Bible is full of scriptures that we can pray over our bodies. But what we need is that touch of Jesus. In this case here, she just wanted to touch part of his clothing. And it's that faith, is that knowing that once she did that prior to that, she had no clue that would work. But when she heard about his travels, when she heard of all the things that he had been doing, he had been around a little bit. And so she knew, she had heard that he had healed. And now it's like, that's what I need. And sometimes if you are going through something that is taken a while, that you've spent your money or whatever it is, seen all the doctors in the world, find that way to touch Jesus. And even if at that moment you don't receive the healing, this is a miracle, right? But even if that moment you don't receive it, what a blessing is that touch of Jesus, right? When he touches you, there's nothing better than his touch. It says, she says, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Freed from her suffering. All it took was a touch of Jesus. It says, at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? That's what healed her, his power. And this is what we have to rely on. It's nothing we do. It's that he does it. And we have to trust that when we go to him and we touch his heart like this lady did, yes, the power came from him, but it was because of her faith in what he was doing. And then what's cool here, it says, you see the people crowding against you, his disciple answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus, looking toward around to see who had done it, and then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Those are the words we want to hear. When you come before him, we want to hear that. Your faith has healed you. And there's places that only you know how you're going to get to that place, that that special touch of Jesus for that special moment is going to be the one that brings freedom to whatever your circumstance, whatever your physical ailment is. Now, we can sometimes accept sickness on our bodies without even realizing that we invited it there. You never think about that we invite a sickness or a disease to come up on our bodies. But think about this. Have you ever made a comment such as, I wish God would heal my arthritis, or that he would take away my migraines? Simple comments, but notice the word my. It's not my arthritis. It's not my whatever. It's not, unless you say it is. If you take possession of anything, it's yours. God can't do anything to take it away. All the enemy needs is a small crack, and he'll come in the door. A simple trap that he can use. Here's another one. Sometimes we choose to carry what our ancestors had. My mother and my grandmother had cancer, so I will probably have it too. It does run in the family. The word says that we are a new creation. The old us died on the cross. So the more the focus we give to the ailment, the more we take our eyes off of Jesus. And we can even become comfortable in our condition. We accept that it's God's will to remain where we are. I look at what I was going through. I had accepted that was going to be me. I was just going to go through life and hurt, but I was going to get through it somehow. My day wouldn't be comfortable. It would be painful, but, you know, I still had to go to work and, you know, provide for my family. You just let it be. You just enjoy it. Or what's the other things? Back to the medications and the doctors and all that. You find ways to make it happen, ways that you don't have to be. You don't have to accept where you are. And whether medications help or whatever, but you can get weaned off of that, just like my wife did. She got weaned off of those medications that were taking care of the lupus. Go to James 1:17. James 1:17, just a quick one here. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I thought that scripture was very enlightening. Because cancer, says all everything is good is from him. Cancer is not good. Diabetes is not good. Heart disease is not good. Sickness of any kind is not good or perfect. So those are things that do not come from God. He's the giver of abundant life. And as I mentioned before, Jesus took our infirmities upon himself, upon his own body, so that they would not be in ours. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. Let's go to Philippians 4. Starting with verse number 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be on you. It says not to be anxious. When we present our request, sometimes we still worry. We come before him and we're all concerned about what could be going on. Why is it that I'm going through this, you know? And we come with those requests and we feel that we've prayed and but yet we walk away and still are worried about what we just prayed about. So worry can cause stress. Stress is a hindrance to our body. So God cannot honor your request if you don't truly give it to him. And there are things that we do that can hinder what God wants to do. There are things that we carry. Sometimes some of us carry unforgiveness. And we know what unforgiveness can do within our bodies. And then the other one is that we place limits on what we believe God can do. We place limits and we feel that maybe he can heal this, but he can't heal this. Maybe he can heal this person here. I know I heard, you know, I know that she got healed or he got healed, but not me. You know, we limit him. He's way beyond our thinking. And yet we sometimes place limits on what we think he can do. Sometimes we let our minds take us to places where we don't belong. Even sometimes believing that we may not even deserve to receive healing. We're not worthy. Maybe something that you did in your past which put you in that specific condition is still ongoing. So you say, well, I blew it, so maybe God doesn't want to take this away from me. That's your mind telling you something that God doesn't want to tell you. That's not your spirit guiding you. As I said earlier, he's about removing sickness and disease, about lifting, not about punishing you with the things that you did in the past. So, I have one more scripture. But now, as I read this scripture, I'm going to ask for the servers to come and serve the communion. So as they pass out the communion, I'll read the next scripture. So where's my servers? Okay, as they pass out the elements, because they hold on to them until we all can take it corporately. So, and then at the end, you can pass them on to the sides and someone will pick them up. So I'm going to read James 5, starting with verse 13. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So here's the question. Is the only time we come before God is when we have a problem? A lot of us do. A lot of us come when we're in trouble. But how often do we come with a thankful heart just because he's so good? How often do we sing songs of praise to him and just thank him for who he is and what he does on everyday life. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you that you don't have to be an elder to pray for someone. You may have all the faith that Jesus has. The Word says that as He is, so are we. All that Jesus is, and He is within us, we have that faith. And we, every one of you here, should be praying for someone, especially for yourself. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Righteous. Being right with God in our everyday life allows Him to bring answers to our prayers. And it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's you, right?
Amen.
You're a righteous person. And so your prayers are effective. They are powerful. But I need to tell you that sometimes we get to points that we ask for we get to a point that things get so bad that now we're asking for a miracle in our life, that God would perform this great thing in our life. And I just need to tell you, if you're right with God consistently, seeking His face, that it's better to walk in blessing than to be praying for a miracle. Most of the Jesus's healings were miracles. He just did it as He went. But for us, we have the Holy Spirit. We can come before the throne room of God. And so as we seek His face, we learn to walk in His righteousness. And so know that He answers your prayers. So please stand with me. That's what the whole sermon was about today, the body of Christ. that's funny. Oh. On the night He was betrayed, after giving thanks, Jesus took bread and He broke it. And today He gave it to His disciples. Today, we take this, these two elements as a sample of, a symbol, I should say, of what happened on that night of the Last Supper. This is His body. This is what He says He gave up so that our bodies would not have disease, so that our bodies would not be sick. And I hope that even though you're doing this today, I hope that even in your homes, you acknowledge what this is, because this is remembrance. This is acknowledgement of the power that He had and what He gave up at that cross. He took everything upon Himself. So as you take this bread today, know that that sickness, whatever it is that's within your body, doesn't belong there. Please take the bread. And in the same way, He took the cup. And today we see this as a symbol of the blood that He shed on that cross. And that our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And that because of that, we can boldly come before the throne of the Father and know that he receives us with open arms because our sins have been forgiven. Please take the cup. I think there's one more thing that I'd like to do today. And I'm going to ask Pastor Henry to come and help me. Our sermon was about the healing of our physical bodies. And I'm going to ask that those of you that have something that's going on in your bodies, that if you would come up here and stand in front of the stage here, and Pastor Henry and I will pray. The title of my message today was A Touch of Jesus, and I really sensing that he wants to touch you this day. He wants to touch your bodies. He wants to free you of those things that have been binding you for years. And then what I'd like to ask others that could also come up here, if you're not receiving prayer, besides me and Pastor Henry, if you could come up here and help us pray. Okay, you need prayer, you stay right where you are. But if you want to help pray, please come up here and help us pray.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.